Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. This could have happened yesterday. We could have read about it in the newspaper or seen it on TV. Just as easily as this could have happened in Jesus' day. It's a timeless tale going back even to the fall into sin. Someone trusted with something who squandered it. Today we hear about wealthy men who have trusted advisors who are revealed to be frauds and thieves. They skim money off the top, they cook the books in their favor, they maybe just take a little bit out of the cash register each night. Either way, we hear stories like this all the time. There's nothing new under the sun. And every time we hear it, we scoff, shake our heads, mutter something about this greed of some people. But before we shake our heads too hard, let us examine ourselves. What have we done with our master's possessions? To be sure, we have not always used them in appropriate ways. Now, the number of zeros behind our wastefulness is fewer than those who grab the headlines today, and yet the master we serve is infinitely wealthier. For we are stewards, managers of God and His blessings. So he testifies in the Psalms, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And yet he graciously wills to give us of all that is his. Our clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that we have come to us from God. He richly, he daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. It is God's, and it is given to you. And so what do you do with all that God has given to you from what is his? In the first place, do you even acknowledge that? Do you even recognize that every single thing you possess is given to you as a gift from God? Or do you consider all these things to be your own by right, as if you are the one who acquired these things by your own reason or strength and therefore may do with them as you please? In the second place, does your faith guide the use of what belongs to you? Or are you guided by the desires and whims of your flesh at the prompting of the world or even the devil? In the third place, does your use of money demonstrate the great commandment taught by our Lord Jesus to love your neighbor as yourself? Or is your neighbor, and that certainly includes the people sitting around you this morning, is an afterthought? In the fourth place, do you recognize that these temporal gifts of God are not going to last forever? That moth and rust will destroy them, or thieves will break in and steal them? Or do you hold them to be your priceless treasure, your highest good? Again, examine yourselves today. And remember that Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. And even if you have been faithful in the little that has been entrusted to you, these earthly possessions of God, the unrighteous wealth, Jesus says, what about the true riches that Jesus has entrusted to you? And we sang about those true riches, and we will continue to sing about those true riches in our hymns today. For the true treasure, the true riches that you possess as a Christian is the good news of Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection for you. Again, as we've sung, as we will sing, he is your treasure, your priceless treasure. He is your true riches. He has come to you in the waters of holy baptism. He feeds you his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. He speaks to you words of forgiveness and holy absolution. Through word and sacrament, the means of grace, he entrusts the riches of heaven to you. And then, as stewards, you are called to then share those riches with others. to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, to forgive those who trespass against you, even as your heavenly Father has forgiven all your trespasses, to love one another, even your enemies, for God has first loved you, even while you were yet a sinner, even while you were yet God's enemy. And how often, like the dishonest manager, that treasure is wasted. The master's wealth is squandered. How often we overlook, forget, or simply ignore his gifts. How the world would turn our attention away to anything and everything from God's gifts. Not just sins, though besetting sins will most certainly turn you away from God's blessings, but even temporal things, good things like the home and workplace, leisure and recreation, these can overtake your attention to the master's true riches. And if you fail to receive God's gifts, you will inevitably fail to share God's gifts. If you are not regularly receiving the true treasures of heaven in word and sacrament, then very quickly the troubles of your neighbor will become annoyances rather than opportunities. Minor offenses will turn into festering grudges rather than opportunities to forgive. And the riches of God's mercy will be seen as something to hoard, not to share with others. What shall you do? You are stewards of your master, the Lord God Almighty. But whether it's unrighteous wealth or the true riches, you have been wasteful with his possessions. Just think about all those missed opportunities. Next door neighbor who needed help with his property, and yet you stayed indoors. The church that needed your financial support, and yet you used it for your own desires. Your Bible left unopened on your nightstand because you were too busy watching a movie. The church service that went unattended because you stayed out too late the night before. The next door neighbor who also needed to hear the gospel and yet heard nothing. Our lives are filled with wastefulness. What shall we do? What did the dishonest manager in today's parable do? His master heard all the charges against him that he was wasting his possessions. He had to turn in the account of his management, for he could no longer be manager. So what did he do? Maybe we should first ask what was done to him. He could have been thrown into prison. He could have been sold into slavery for this wastefulness. But he wasn't. The master simply let him go, even with a warning, sort of reminiscent of how Joseph resolved to divorce Mary quietly when he learned that she was with child. That proved Joseph was a just man, and so by the master's action in today's parable, he proves himself to be a just man. He is unwilling to put his manager to shame. And as Jesus tells the parable, the manager recognizes this justice. He recognizes his master's righteousness. As he goes on his way to collect the accounts, his mind races. What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, too ashamed to beg. But then he gets an idea. Was it to go back to the master and make excuses? To go confront those who first accused him? To find someone else in the community who might speak well of him and back him up? He does none of these things. Instead, the steward, the manager, calls all of the master's debtors to him one by one, and he invites them to forgive themselves, so to speak. That is, to adjust their own bills, to lessen their own debts. The one who is owed 100 measures of oil is invited to cut his debt down to 50. The one who is owed 100 measures of wheat is said to cut his down to 80. In both cases, they lessen their debt by about 500 denarii. That's about a year's and a half's wages. This would be illegal, of course, if it was discovered that the manager was making deals with his master's account after he'd been fired. He'd be in even bigger trouble. And yet, Jesus says this worked. Even though the master figured out the steward's scheme, he wasn't punished for it, but instead commended. That manager who was accused of wastefulness and who illegally adjusted the accounts after he'd been fired, after he cost his master 1,000 denarii or more, almost 3 years' wages, he was then commended, applauded by his master for his shrewd, that is, prudent actions. This is a strange parable before us today, one that historically has been seen as difficult to understand, and we can see why. But it becomes clearer to us when we consider its context. In just the previous chapter of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, Jesus tells three very well-known parables to the Pharisees and scribes. He tells them these three parables because they grumbled about the fact that Jesus was receiving sinners and eating with them. These parables are the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Then, after concluding the parable of the prodigal son, after telling of the father's mercy, his open arms, welcoming back his son who was lost but now was found, who was dead but is now alive, then Jesus says also to his disciples. He also tells his disciples the parable of the dishonest manager or steward. And so you see, even though there's a chapter break there, Jesus is still preaching in the same occasion. He is still teaching in response to the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes. In fact, if we were to keep reading in Luke chapter 16 on to verse 14, we would find that the Pharisees are still listening to Jesus. They're still hearing all that he's saying. And there's another clue in this parable when he says that the manager wasted his master's possessions like the younger son who squandered his father's property in reckless living. Again, even though there's a chapter break here, these parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, and now the dishonest manager are all part of one sermon, so to speak, one teaching. These parables together are parables of God's grace and mercy. You see, when the manager was without any earthly hope, he knew he could not trust in his works, he could not dig. He knew he could not trust in his words, he could not beg. He could only trust in his master. He could only hope in him. He knew that his master was a just, a righteous man. And so by faith he knew that his master would have mercy on him. And not only on him, but even on all his debtors. In short, this manager knew his master well. And because of that, he was commended. So again, dear Christians, examine yourselves. Your stewardship has been wasteful, that's true. But your master, is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Your master forgives all your sins, your debts of both unrighteous wealth and the true riches. And he does this daily and richly. Trust in him. Believe in him. Hope in him. For your master sent his only son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to bear all your sins. Your sins of wastefulness, dishonesty, greed, and everything else, all your unrighteousness. He was charged, falsely accused, with blasphemy, demon possession, insurrection. He was led away to the cross to die. On the cross, he was forsaken, left alone. And yet through it all, he trusted that God would judge him justly. He perfectly knew his father's mercy, that he would not only deliver his son from death, that he would raise him to life on the third day, but that he would even forgive those who did these things against him. That he would, for Jesus' sake, forgive the sins of the whole world. As Jesus stood in your stead, and as God's son, he canceled your debt of sin. Not halfway or 20% like the steward in this parable, but entirely, 100%, by nailing it to the cross. Now Christ summons you personally here to this place, to this church, to this font, to this altar, to this sanctuary, to be forgiven, to have your debts wiped away completely. Christ has received into the homes and lives of those whom he has received. Again, this parable ultimately is a parable of God's mercy and grace toward you. But there is a difference between the parable we just heard today and the parables that precede it in Luke chapter 15. And that is, this parable is spoken specifically to the disciples, not to the Pharisees. Jesus told the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son to the Pharisees who grumbled, who scoffed that the Lord who should show mercy to sinners. But this parable, the parable of the dishonest manager, is told to the disciples, to those who have received the Lord's mercy, to those who trust in it. And so in this parable, there is the added element of following the Savior's example of generosity and mercy. This parable is not only about receiving grace, but then also living in that grace and showing that grace to others. This is what Jesus calls you to do as his believers, to use your earthly wealth to show your trust in the Father's mercy. Like the manager in today's parable, we show our trust in our Master's grace when we give freely to those who are in need, to our church, to our fellow Christians, to our community, even to the world. We show our trust in God's mercy when we take all that is owed to us, our salaries, our resources, our possessions, even our time and abilities, and give from that to help our neighbor in his need. When we do that, we show our faith in a very concrete way. Faith that God provides for the needs of my body, just like he provides for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. When we use our wealth, our riches, which is the root of all kind of unrighteousness in the world, when we use this to make friends, that is, when we use our wealth to establish relationships with other people, the poor and the needy, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our neighbors in this world, we are confessing in a very real way that our dwelling place is not found in a house made of wood and brick, but an eternal dwelling, a place for us prepared by Christ in the heavens. Yes, when we use our money and possessions in this way, we are showing that our hearts are with our true treasure, the Lord Jesus in heaven. And that's why the Christian's use of time, talents, and treasures has been known as stewardship. Again, you've been entrusted with that which is not your own. Neither your clothing nor shoes, food nor drink, house nor home, wife nor children, land, animals, nothing you have is truly your own. All these belong to your Father in heaven, but he daily and richly gives these things to you. He calls you not to be an owner of such things, but a steward, to manage these resources of time, talents, and treasures on behalf of God, for his glory, and to love and serve your neighbor. And all this is even more true when it comes to the true riches. If you are not faithful in the unrighteous wealth, if you devote all your time and talents to the accumulation of earthly riches, you confess a lack of trust in the true riches of Christ. But if you are faithful in that which is another's, if you are generous and merciful with God's wealth entrusted to you by using it to help other people, yes, even those who might not deserve it, you confess your faith in that which is yours by faith and not by works. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Christians, you are free to love your neighbor, even your enemy, as yourself. You are free to forgive those who trespass against you, even 70 times, 7 times. You are free to bear one another's burdens, for Christ has borne all your sins. Christ has forgiven all your trespasses. Christ has shown you love even when you were loveless. The true riches of heaven have been given to you by grace. And from that may flow the true riches that you share with your neighbor. Jesus says elsewhere, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. Your kindness, your generosity, your mercy does not and cannot begin with you as your work, but rather it is simply a servant reflecting his Lord. For you have a kind and generous and merciful Lord, Jesus Christ, who again has canceled your debt of sin 100%. He has forgiven all your trespasses. He loves you. He provides for you daily on earth and is even now preparing for you a place in the eternal dwellings of heaven. In his name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.